So thankful that when I can't see, Lord, that I walk by faith and not by sight. That I can walk through uncertainty, walk through times where it is darkness, Lord, and you're leading and walking, making a way, making rivers in dry lands, as your word says, making passages, Lord, making the impossible possible. Thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We ask that you would open your word and speak to our hearts, Lord, this morning, that we would leave different than we came, that we would leave full of your spirit and encouraged, Lord, for our journey of faith. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. God bless you. My goodness, guys. Amazing, amazing job this morning. And I love when it's not often that I'm speaking and Lisa's doing music anymore to morning. That used to be the kind of routine for us. But I love when her music choices just line up with without us discussing, you know, kind of where I'm going in my message. It's a beautiful thing, huh? Appreciate you guys. What an incredible job you did leading us this morning. Thank you for that. Amen. I do want to mention, and I apologize, we don't have a nursery worker this morning. The nursery is open. If you need to go back with your kids, kind of, there's sound back there. There's speakers. You can hear service, but unfortunately, we don't. Oh, well, there you go. Hallelujah. Good morning. Nix that. Drop your kids off. Maybe drop your husband off if you want to back there. Leave them back there. They can be supervised and play with blocks. And amen. I'm so glad to have my parents here with us this morning as well. To see them, always a treat. Amen. Have any of you ever been to Cooperstown? Anybody? Amen. All right. Does anybody even know what Cooperstown is? All right. That's the Baseball Hall of Fame. You know, that's I'm a baseball fan. I never really cared about Hall of Fame stuff. My son every year knows who's up for voting on just about every sport and what's going on. The only time I really cared about it, the only person I watched carefully waiting to be inducted was Jeff Bagwell of the Astros. One of my childhood kind of baseball heroes, but there was a reason why I was waiting on him. I thought the moment he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, I was going to be a wealthy, wealthy man, because I had the most expensive Bagwell rookie card I had autographed. And I had my mother, probably junior high age for me, got invited by her boss to go to a lunch with the entire Astros team. And I started digging through baseball collection, because any kid who was growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, we had hundreds of hundreds. This was our retirement plan. But yeah. started digging through, and I sent her with a stack of cards with instructions on level of importance. This is the one you have to get autographed, and then this one, and then this one. And she went to work that day with my stack of cards, and I went on to school, and her boss, when she got to work, he goes, "You know, I should have told you to bring your son to this today." So she, emergency phone call, I believe it was grandma, checked me out of school, and I'm very confused. And she goes, "Get home, get some Sunday nice clothes on, and you're going to lunch with the Astros." And so, man, I get, it's time to suit up, boys. I'm going to suit up and go to lunch. And I said, "Give me those baseball cards back." And I remember scouring, and I knew I had the Upper Deck branded Bagwell rookie card, 1991. And I love Bagwell. He, an amazing player, played every game for like 4 years straight without injury. You actually worked through injury, 30 home runs plus a year. The consistency was impressive. But I got this autograph, and I was waiting on the Hall of Fame, because I knew the moment that done, I'm cashing this in. And I don't know a lot about investments. That's my wife's kind of genre, but I do know baseball cards are not it. The story of the autograph is worth way more than the actual autograph, but it's the only time I really paid attention to Hall of Fame stuff. But there's a Hall of Fame for every sport. It's amazing. There's some strange ones. There's even a pinball Hall of Fame. Pinball. I don't know if there's a barista Hall of Fame, but there is a barista world championship, and I'm just nerdy enough to have watched that a few times. So, but even in the Bible, there is a Hall of Fame. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have what is called the Hall of Faith, or some people call it the Faith Hall of Fame. And it's a great portion of Scripture. And you get all of these stories where they begin to say, you know, that by faith, Enoch did this, and by faith, Abel did this, and by faith, Jacob, and by faith, Joseph, and by faith, you know, Moses, and by faith, Noah, and it just goes on and on through heroes of the faith. And in chapter 11 and verse 8, we get into our text this morning, and it says, by faith, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Even when I don't see that you're working, not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, when we're first introduced to Abraham, we don't get a lot of information about him. He's about 75 years old. He's living in Ur, where he was born and where he grew up and where he probably expected to one day die. Everything's kind of moving along. He is his father's firstborn, which is extremely significant in the Bible. It means everything of his father's one day he would inherit, his business, his property. And in fact, by this point in his life, he's probably running most of his dad's kind of businesses and affairs. Abraham is kind of got it going on. He's got a future. He's got, you know, a very certain, he's going to cash in. Not like baseball cards. He's going to really cash in at one time. And he is married and he has no children. And as far as we can tell, the without children part is the only kind of negative thing going on in his life. And one day, God interrupts his comfortable life and things are never the same from that point on. God just tells him, go, go. No details, not going to tell you. And the amazing part is, he went. That's the incredible part. And we don't have any backstory of Abraham's faith journey, of where he is with God, what his relationship with God is. The beginning of his story is God telling him to go. And he went. Could you go without the details? Could you jump on a trip? If I just said, hey, let's go. Get in the car. We're going on a trip. Where are we going? What do I need to pack? Don't worry about it. My God, let's go. I'm not telling you anything. Let's go. Could you do a trip without an itinerary? I don't know if I could. I don't know if I can release the control. I don't like the brand Control Freak, but it probably fits well with me. I don't know if I could do that. We went to Disney last month on a trip with the, you know, chaperoning some high school students, and the lady that planned this trip is a kindred spirit. I actually brought the itinerary today with me because I was looking at it in my email. It's so detailed down to what time we're waking up every morning, where we're eating meals, the bus company, the brand of the shuttle that's going to pick us up today. I mean, it was so detailed and I loved every minute of it. This is like my level of detail here. And I was like, but you know, you got a lot of moving parts. You need this. And some people are just like, hey, whatever, we're going, you know, not me. I want to know every step of the way. I want to know, you know, everything. I like data. But it's more than that. I like the control that it brings. I like the comfort that it brings as well. I think we cling to that kind of control because we've been hurt by situations that were outside of our control. And it becomes a healing thing or a protection thing or a shield kind of that we, you know, when things are out of our control and it spins out and it hurts us. And so, but it's also about trust and it's about faith. I've got a dear lifelong friend And if, you know, I don't know if they listen to our podcast or our radio, but I love you, David. We're going to talk about you this morning. We went on a camping trip as kids. He had this great idea. Let's go camping. It's like, okay, let's go camping. And I, you know, picked him up and he got in the car with the clothes on his back. I was like, where are we going? I don't know. Where do you want to go? Like, we didn't do a reservation for like a state park, or you planned this trip. Where's your tent? Where's your sleeping bag? I figure somebody, we'll figure it all out along the way. Like, what do you mean we'll figure it out along the way? There's zero planning other than let's get in the car and I got an idea and let's do it. Let's go. So if David tells me, hey, let's go, I'm going, no, man, I'm going to get the itinerary. I want to know where we're going, because there's a little bit of lack of faith in that one. But my wife, on the other hand, if my wife says, get in the car, we're going somewhere, I'm just 22 years of traveling with her. I'm comfortable and I have enough trust and faith in her. I go, okay, we'll get in the car. I'm sure she has got it covered down to the detail. And that's okay, because there's a history of trust there. And that's what's happening with Abraham. Is God says, go. And Abraham, we don't know anything about his faith journey, but Abraham picks up everything, every belonging, every person in his employ, all of his family and livestock, and he begins to go. But it's not just that he said, go. This isn't in the text, but this is the implication here. It's like if I said, Brady, go. Go on a trip. What do you mean go on a trip? Just go. Or if I say, Brady, let's go. And then you go, oh, well, Justin's got this. He invited me. And God is telling Abraham, let's go. Not just go. God is walking with him. He's journeying with him. And he's there. And he tells him, I'm going with you. And in Genesis 12 and 3, he says, and I, not only am I with you, I'm going to bless those in the journey that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that dishonor you, because I am with you. I'm not just with you. I got your back. I mean, I got your front. I got your sides. I'm going to bless those that bless you. If people dishonor you, I'm going to curse them. I think, man, we better be careful how we're treating people. I don't know who's walking around Lano who's got this kind of promise on them. So, you know, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to bless people. You dishonor somebody, what if they've got a promise with God? I don't know. So, man, kindness is free. You just give that stuff away. That's not even in the notes. That's just free. That's free goodness right there. So Abraham, he steps into the unknown and he begins his literal faith walk, walking with God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That there are times where we just can't see what's going on around us. I don't want to go anywhere that I don't know what the destination is. That's just the way I'm kind of wired. But there are times that faith doesn't work like that. Faith is you're walking by faith and not by sight, without knowing all the details, not knowing the end. And sometimes in our life, we are called to take just a leap. We're called to just take a step into the unknown. That's what they call it, a leap of faith. Years ago, I was working for Home Depot. I was managing, I oversaw 8 stores at the time, and God called me to take a leap and to leave that behind and go full-time into ministry. And it was one of those where I had the option. I was actually, this was in my control, right? This is my control. I get to make the decision. I get to take the step. And that's exactly what we did. It was a leap of faith into the unknown. But sometimes, it's not the choice we make. Sometimes we're thrown into the unknown. Sometimes we're pushed into the unknown. Sometimes it's out of your control. Maybe you're fired. Maybe you've been walked out on, abandoned. Maybe it's an illness that crops up and it's a journey you're walking through and it's not in your control, but you're still walking into the unknown, not by sight. So what do we do? What Abraham was called to do is real simple. It was just keep walking. Just keep walking with God. And this is the fantastic part. And this has been on my heart for weeks and weeks. It's a very simple thing. In practice, he just walked. He just journeyed. He just picked up and moved on. And it was so simple, but it was counted to him as faith. Not just as faith, it was credited to him as big faith, as giant faith, so much that he's listed in the Hall of Fame of faith that he just kept walking with God. Where are we going? I don't know. God told me to move. I'm just going. All throughout Genesis, you see this phrase, and it says, "And Abraham journeyed on." And Abraham journeyed on. This is the story of our faith walk. When we hit difficult times, Brady, you ever had difficult times? And Brady journeyed on. By faith, Brady journeyed on. And when times got hard, Abraham didn't give up and return home. He didn't give up on the call and head back. He journeyed on. The Bible says he journeyed on. He kept walking with God. What's on the end of this? I don't know, but God promised it's going to be amazing. So I'm keeping moving. When times got bad, he didn't stop. And this is even more important, I think. When times got good, he also didn't settle. When they hit a land that was really nice and they hit a land that was beautiful and had good water and good grazing, and he says, well, we're just travelers. We're just sojourners. God has something even better for us. He's calling us to something better. I had a teacher in college. He said, if I could sum up Hebrews in one word, that would be it. Better. It is a promise of better to come. The book of Hebrews is actually written to Hebrews. There you go. Big shocker. It's Jewish believers who are now converts, who are Christians, and they're facing persecution from their family and their friends because they have left the Jewish faith, and now they are Christians, and they're facing persecution, and they were considering turning around and going back. At least some of them wanted to go back to Judaism because of the pressure, but at least go back to the external practices. At least we'll dress like we look the part so they don't necessarily know it, or we'll do the festivals and we'll do all this kind of stuff. And it's an encouragement to stay the course. Hebrews was written to those people and telling them, keep walking, keep journeying, stay on the course of faith. Because there is something better ahead for you. I'm not going to go much longer. The band can go ahead and come. If somebody wants to let Lisa know, we're going to be kind of heading towards the closing here. It's only the second time I've ever preached from this text, this verse of the Bible, in all my years of preaching. And I know very specifically the last time I preached that, because it was my last sermon I preached in my church in Pasadena. And it was, I said, you know, it was this scripture when it says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. That was my big point, because we were not necessarily taking the step into the unknown as much as we were being pushed into the unknown. We were being let go from our position, and we were losing really both of our livelihoods and our home that was provided, and just really in a scary. And all of a sudden, we're walking into the unknown. And I just kept looking at this verse, and Abraham journeyed on. By faith, he journeyed on, looking for a city. Its foundations and design and builder is God. He was looking for something better. And I look back at those, I remember those scary, scary times really, really well. And I think back now, here we are. We wouldn't have been in Llano if it hadn't happened. It was walking by faith because we couldn't see. We were in a dark tunnel, not knowing what's on the other side, but this was on the other side. A community that we love. Dear, dear friends who have changed our lives. But in the time, all I could do was just, I don't know, what else do you do? You just keep walking. You take another step and you keep going forward. And I know we're on a journey with God. And if I'm going to continue on the journey, I just got to keep walking in faith. I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to run from him. We keep walking. Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, we've acknowledged that we are strangers and exiles on earth. I mean, this isn't our permanent home. I'm just a passing through, the old hymn said, right? For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. There is something better promised for you at the end of your walk of faith, at the end of your journey with God. There is a homeland. And if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Never noticed this until this week. And it says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's not ashamed to be called my Father? Isn't that amazing? I don't think all of the decisions and choices I've made have brought him pride. There are things that I've done that would have definitely brought shame upon my name. But he says, he's not ashamed to be called my Father? That just, man, knocked me out of my socks. How? I look at my kids, man, I'm proud. I'm proud that they carry my name. I'm proud to be their dad. And he's looking down and he's thinking the same thing. I'm proud of you. And I'm like, I don't know, man, I stumbled a few times, but you kept walking. You're still in the walk of faith. You're still in the journey. You're still in relationship. He says, and I am not ashamed to be called your father. When God told Abraham to leave, he didn't tell him where he was going. He just said, go to a land and I'll show you. I'll show you along the way somewhere. And he demanded that he start a pilgrimage away from his old life and into a new kind of life. God cannot lead you into new ways of living until he leads you out of old ways of living. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Joseph. And by faith, all of you. Abraham journeyed on. So keep walking. If you have a kid who's under the age of 18, then you have, you've been abused by kids' movies most of your life. You know, they get one movie and they really love and it stays in the DVD player. We had the same movie in the DVD player in our van for, 10 years, it seemed like. But I was thinking this morning, because if I've watched this movie once, I've watched it 500 times. I was thinking about old Dory from Finding Nemo. What do? When life gets us down, we keep swimming. We just keep swimming. We keep swimming. You just keep swimming. What do you do when life gets you down? You keep swimming. Keep swimming. I'm not going to sing it. She sings it, but it's fantastic. I played it on YouTube this morning for Abby. What do when we're in the unknown? When we're walking and we don't see what the outcome is? Keep swimming. Keep walking with God. We keep going on our faith journey. They'll be writing stories about you in the future. They'll be writing you down in the Faith Hall of Fame. They'll be saying, by faith, Marla journeyed on, by faith. I'm going to close with verse 32. The writer of Hebrews finally gets to a point when he goes, man, I could talk about heroes of the faith. And he's writing a letter. He had plenty of time. Maybe he was running out of paper. I don't know. He said, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to continue talking about it, to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness and became mighty in war, put foreign armies to fight, kept journeying on by faith, just kept swimming. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close out. We're going to worship. Your story is still being written. We got people, we got future Hall of Famers in the building this morning who are going to conquer kingdoms. We have any kingdom conquerors this morning who are going to shut the mouths of lions, who are going to be strong out of weakness, who are going to be mighty in war. Future Hall of Famers right here this morning. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we love you. Thankful that even though I can't see it, Lord, I walk by faith and not by sight. And I know I'm not walking alone, but you are with me. Blessing those that bless me, holding my hand, carrying me, Lord. Just keep walking, just keep walking, just keep walking. We walk in our journey with you, Lord. I'm not turning around because I know you have promised there is an end in sight, and it is better, it is more beautiful, Lord. It is a city whose foundation and builder and designer is God Almighty. And you are holding my hand. You're a way maker. You're a promise keeper. You're a light in the darkness. And we worship your mighty name this morning. In the name of Jesus, let's worship the Lord before we leave.